Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Mom Hour. We are doing another special More Than Mom episode like we've been doing every now and then. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing great, and I am loving the feedback we are getting on these episodes. What's funny is it feels like we're getting even more feedback than we usually get on our regular episodes, but I think it's just because we talk about such random stuff that people have opinions about. And
yes.
So they chime in on social. So it'll be interesting to see if that trend continues. Thank you to everybody who said that
yes,
you like these.
You.
Several people have said they really appreciate that we kind of separated them out from our Tuesday shows, which are about parenting. So if you're brand new and you haven't figured this out yet, every Tuesday we have kind of a mom topic or parenting related topic. And we've started doing these extra episodes.
We're keeping these ones around 20 minutes or so. And we just talk about truly random things. So we've covered everything from like nostalgic beauty products to social media and just what it's
beverages.
Like whatever's on our mind. We don't script it, or we never really script anything, but we don't outline it. I'm driving the bus instead of Sarah, which means it's a bumpy ride. But we have a lot of fun. So
we do.
Today we're actually going to talk about hobbies.
We are. I'm a little nervous. I feel like I have no hobbies. I get
That's
nervous
not true.
And I have nothing to say.
Well, okay. I have a few questions prepared to ask you, and I guarantee you're going to have something to say about all of them.
All right.
So.
Well, and if I don't, we'll at least stick to our promise of keeping these short.
Yes, that's true. See? No pressure all around.
Win-win. Okay, but first let's talk about our wonderful sponsor, Kind Snacks. You guys have heard us talk about Kind before. I actually was without Kind Snacks in my pantry for like 4 days and it drove me nuts. But I am a member of the Kind Snack Club, which means that I get my favorite flavors at a discount every month shipped to my door, which is awesome. And you guys can get started with this with a sampler pack where you order, and we'll give you the URL in a second, and you will get a sampler pack of 10 full-size, awesome flavored Kind bars that like you've never seen these flavors in stores, really cool ones. And then as part of that, you can get enrolled in the Kind Snack Club if you want, which, like I said, gets everything to your door monthly, and it's amazing.
Yeah, we've said many times that Kind bars save our lives frequently. So if you want to try 10 full-size Kind bars for free, all you pay is shipping. Go to kindsnacks.com/mom. That's kindsnacks.com/MOM for full details. Again, 10 full-size Kind bars for free. All you have to do is pay for shipping.
Yeah, awesome. We love it.
Okay, Sarah, are you ready for me to quiz you about your hobbies or lack thereof?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like maybe to take the pressure off of you, I'll start and just talk a little bit about what I've got going on right now.
Yeah.
Because as you know, it's kind of funny. People will say, so what do you do for fun? And then I kind of like my eyes glaze over and I go blank and I'm like, nothing. I don't do anything for fun. And then I realize that actually I have a very active I have a very active life that doesn't have anything to do with parenting or work. It's just that I've done it for so long. It doesn't, like, to me, it doesn't feel like a hobby. Like,
right.
I've always thought of a hobby as like knitting.
Yeah. And I think that's probably where my struggles are too, is we'll get into this, but like there's a little bit of bleed over, crossover in what is work, what is creativity,
right. What
is hobbies.
Yeah.
So anyway, you go first.
I guess for the purposes of this show, I will define a hobby as anything you do that's not work and is not parenting just because you want to.
Okay.
Okay. So does that help a little bit? Because that could include reading.
Yeah, it does.
It could include wandering around your neighborhood aimlessly for no reason. Like, you know, fitness could be considered a hobby. Some people get really, just because you want to, though, is the...
Right.
Like, so if you're running a triathlon because you just really want to, I consider that a hobby.
Yeah.
If you're running on the treadmill because you otherwise would never fit into your jeans again and feel terrible, then I don't know. That's more
I know
like
what
a,
you mean.
A
it
maintenance.
Feels, there's a feeling inside that makes something
exactly.
feel like play or like,
right.
like diversion,
yes.
like leisure.
Exactly.
Leisure.
Exactly. Leisure. So everybody who's listened to this show for, you know, more than an episode or two probably knows that I do a lot of performance. I am currently both performing in a musical and directing a musical. In all my spare time. The directing is a children's show and it is paid. So that is, I am a theater professional now.
Nice.
It took me a long time, but I got there. It's not a lot of pay, but it does sweeten the pot.
I was going to say, you could just let everybody think it's just piles of money.
Yes,
piles
it's so,
of
so much money
for directing a local children's production.
It's not, but I think it does. It does make it that much easier to give up my Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
Just knowing that there's a little money involved. But the performance is just for the love of it. I am in a production of Hairspray, and it's kind of funny. Right now, we're recording this episode at a completely different time than we usually would. And that's because this weekend is Tech Week,
yeah.
Which for those who don't know theater means basically I will do nothing but theater from Sunday through next Sunday for like one full week. You have a kickoff rehearsal on Sundays where you do the tech. So I will stand around on stage in my costume and my makeup and my wig and basically stand there while they light me. And then we'll move to the next scene, and then they light you, and then you move to the next scene, and then they do a sound check, and then you do the whole thing over. So it's very tedious. And then you get into dress rehearsals, which is really fun. And then you have the show, and then the whole thing is over, and you're like, gosh, I just gave up 3 months of my life for something that was over in 3 days. But you know what? You do it, and then you say, I'm never doing this again. And then
I know.
And
I feel
then
like
you do it again.
I feel like I've ridden that wave with you now a few times. I mean, you really actively got back into theater, what, like 2.5, 3 years ago, maybe? So when I...
Three to four. Yeah.
I would say when I first started knowing you and being in regular contact with you, you were still on your long hiatus. And that's part of hobbies, too, is you can have a long hiatus and go back to things. Because you, like, I think when I first started reading your writing and when we were first got together, you still talked about theater as something you used to do a lot and would probably get back into. You were not actively doing it as much until the last few years, it feels like.
No, that's true. I think the show that I was in that kind of kicked it back off was in 2014. And that was a very small part. And I just did one that year. And then the next year is when I really kind of started. Now I do about two shows a year, generally speaking. So anyway, it is a lot of fun. It is a lot of work, but I love it. And that's what makes it a hobby. See what I just did there?
Oh, you put a pretty little bow on that.
I did. I put a bow on it. But Sarah, you let it slip that you're doing something today that's very different. You want to tell everyone
what that is? This is crazy. I'm going to take a voice lesson today. So I was never as serious about singing as I was about dance. Those who know me well, I danced all the way through a like little professional dance career for a few years in my 20s, ballet and modern and stuff. But I also sang in high school. I sang in choir and madrigals, and I actually took private voice lessons a little bit in high school, but I was never a theater person. So I had dance, which was a very like, I was very much like a classical dancer. So I didn't do musical theater. I didn't do commercial type stuff. I just did straight dance. And then I sang, but somehow they never merged together. So I was never a musical theater person, and I never really sang after high school choir and madrigal a cappella.
Yeah.
So,
but I didn't even really realize that you were into singing. I don't know how I missed that.
Well, I sang karaoke at your 40th birthday party.
You did.
Not super well, but it was
you were
karaoke.
Actually the highlight of the whole night.
No you way.
Sang, you sang Stand By Your Man.
I did sing Stand By Your Man, but you singing, what's that song? Granny.
Oh, Fancy.
Fancy
by Reba McEntire.
That was the highlight of the night. Okay, we're already down a major wandering road here, but I have video.
I could just imagine people listening to this being like, oh my goodness, what did I miss? You have video. Please don't ever let that see the light of day.
No.
That was on my birthday at the end of a very long night. Let's just put it that way. So I think I was messing up the lines and.
No, you were. It was amazing. The difference. I mean, you obviously are a much more trained vocalist and singer than I am. But I can sing and I really like to sing. Okay. So can I just tell the backstory? Cause I don't have a lot of hobbies. So here's the backstory. And this reveals like a totally, I don't know, whatever superficial reason why I thought of taking voice lessons. I was at my kid's piano studio where they take piano once a week. And I was reading to Violet. So Allegra and Reed were in their piano lessons. They have them at the same time, but two different teachers. And our piano studio is run by these two sisters who are amazing. I love them. And they also have a voice teacher there at the studio with them. So I was reading aloud to Violet from a book. And the voice teacher, who also kind of does some admin for them, comes around the corner and he says, can I just tell you, you have an awesome speaking voice. You have such a good speaking voice. He said, have you been trained? And I said, well, no, but I'm a podcaster. So that's a high compliment, but I don't have any vocal training either, like in radio or anything like that. And he's like, well, and he went into this technical explanation of what my voice does or doesn't do. And I told this to you, Megan, so you explained, but like, I don't even have any frame of reference for what he was talking about. Things that some people's voices do dipping up and down that mine didn't. And I was like completely flattered. It was like the kind of compliment that I wasn't expecting. It came from someone who has no reason to give me a compliment. Like he's just a, 20 something dude at the music studio. And I was like, well, that was very nice. It, like made my night. But at the same time, there is an adult woman who takes voice lessons at the same time as my kid and that also kind of put it in my head, like, oh, like regular adults who aren't aspiring to be on Broadway could take voice lessons.
Sure.
So I'm going to
do that. No, I love that. That reminds me of the time I took an adult ballet class.
Yes.
Remember that I did that?
Yes.
I quit pretty quickly only because I realized that what I really wanted to do is dance and not stand at a bar and do positions, which is kind of what it was. And it was fine. Like, it would have been a good, it wasn't like a bar class. It wasn't a fitness
class. No, it was
class.
A real ballet
it was
class.
A it was a ballet class. But I was like, I'm never going to advance. Like, I'm not going to put the time into this required to advance to any meaningful degree. So, and it was like on a Monday night, which is not a great night. So anyway, all that said, that is kind of interesting that we flip-flopped our worlds a little bit.
I know.
In that way.
Yeah.
And but I do think, you know, the way my voice teacher, and I'm not actively taking lessons right now, but it's a guy who directs a lot of the shows I'm in. And so I've taken a lot of lessons from him. And he said you can tell a lot about a person, the quality of a person's voice by how they speak. And you can tell a lot about what their singing voice will sound like by the way they speak. And also you can tell by listening to someone talk if they're using their singing voice correctly, if they're. Because you can tell so much about the quality and range of their voice through the way they speak, you can tell if they're kind of forcing something when they sing, or if they're not being true to their own vocal quality. I think it's all fascinating.
I think it's really fascinating. And I think that's one thing that drew me to it also is dance is so technical. And because I was a ballet dancer, I was immersed in technique. Singing for me, other than staying on pitch and a little bit of sight reading, because I sang in a cappella groups and choirs, I never really was given a ton of very specific technique coaching. And I did take private voice lessons just a very little bit my senior year of high school. But I think I'm actually looking forward to sort of like, I don't know. I like technique. I like learning how things work and how to do things differently or better. That's part of my personality. So I am kind of excited for that. So that's my new hobby that I haven't started, but I'm going to start in like 2 hours.
Well, I'm hoping that you're going to come back and, you know, tell us all about it. So I think that's really cool. Okay. Well, we've talked a little bit about what we're doing right now and maybe if we're trying anything new. I don't think I have anything new on the horizon. I will say one thing that I tend to really be too hard on myself. You know, I know this is a common theme, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know that I've been sort of playing around with like dating apps and stuff. And so a question that I get asked a lot is, what do you do for fun? Or like, do you read? Those are two questions you get asked a lot.
Oh, on the dating app. Yeah.
On the dating apps or in real life.
And you need to have your elevator speech ready. Like,
well, the thing is, I always want to be like, you know, what do I do for fun? Like I said before, I just go blank and I say nothing, which isn't even true at all. But the other thing is, I'm not currently reading at all because I'm so tired. Like by the time I get home from a rehearsal. So I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be interesting in a lot of different ways. And well-rounded.
Yep.
And I'm just kind of realizing that I'm not in the point of my life right now where I can do all of the things or dabble in all of the things. And I'm doing being a performer really well right now. And I'm not doing being a consumer of the written word very well right now. And no, that's okay.
I think it's totally okay. I've gone through very, very long seasons of my life where I didn't read at all. And that's someone with a degree in English literature who always thought of myself and you're the same. We're both writers. And there's a lot of like... shame associated with identifying yourself as a reader and not reading regularly. I am in a phase of reading since the new year. I've gotten back into the habit of getting up before my kids, which I have been doing for a couple of years, but I slipped down a rabbit hole working from 5 to 6 a.m.
Right.
It wasn't super healthy. I mean, it was really healthy for our business.
Well, it was a necessity for a little while. Yeah. I think it helped, but now you don't need to do that anymore.
No, so I have been back to reading, and that's the only time a day I read. I don't really ever read any other time, but I love it. And I agree with you. It's just there are seasons where you don't read at all, and that doesn't mean you're not a reader.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, that reminds me, speaking of things that we used to do and stopped doing or vice versa, I stopped writing anything of meaning for a very long time and have been dabbling with personal writing again.
Yeah,
I wrote the letter for our most recent newsletter.
Oh, and yes. Wait, you
it
guys,
just turned into an
not,
essay.
Yeah. If you are not signed up for our newsletter, we just really kicked it off this year. And Katie and Megan and I are taking turns kind of authoring the opening message. And I did the first one and it was fine. And then Megan did the next month and it was like this beautiful, full blown essay. I was like,
I really just meant to sit down and write a letter. And then I thought, I have some things to say. And what was really cool about it, when I stopped writing, I did not miss it. I really thought that I would. I had written so much, so many words for so many years, and I just stopped and didn't miss it until suddenly I did, but I couldn't find a way to get myself back into it until you were like, Megan, we need you to write a letter. Do it. You have a deadline. And so deadlines really work.
Yep.
And I had a theme in mind and I just sat down and started writing. So then that led me to want to blog again. So I'm not sure, 100% sure if I'm ready to share it yet. I guess it'll be a surprise. Go check out the show notes and you'll find out if I'm ready to share it or not yet. But I did start a small personal blog, nothing to do with my professional website at all, just to write about sort of the life transition I'm in. So I have one post up, maybe another one by the time this goes live. I don't know. Maybe I'll share it. Maybe I won't. But it was a lot about the headspace I was in that led to me stopping writing and then why I just kind of decided to start again. And so that, yeah, that was one of those things I put on hold and then I got back to it. You always can.
You always can. And one thing I want to say about that is I think you've landed on something that a lot of people can identify with, which is anytime a hobby becomes either a career or a side hustle or even just a really intense hobby where now there are expectations around it and deadlines and it's sort of consuming, which sometimes happens because you really, really love the hobby. But then the flip side of that is it sometimes doesn't feel fun anymore or doesn't feel like playful and creative and spontaneous and something you do by choice. And right. I think probably writing for you, because it was you were a magazine writer and then a professional blogger for 15 years.
Yeah.
So writing for fun kind of maybe lost a little bit of the fun and you have to away for long enough to like decide, okay, I can do this for fun. I mean, that's
right.
Totally.
And I don't
how,
have to have. Yeah. And remember you and I even had conversations where it's like, should I start blogging under my Megan Francis site? Should I start blogging again somewhere else? And the answer for me was just no. Like the answer for me was to do it this completely different way for now. And we'll see.
Yeah.
So yeah. And we've had like book ideas we've tossed around. I've tossed around and I just couldn't get my heart in them because it would have been for work. It would have felt like work.
And so, you know how much work it is. That's the other thing.
Right.
It's when you're starting a brand new hobby, you don't know any better. So you're like, sure, I could
blissful
run a
ignorance
marathon or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I do want to, before we wrap up, because we're actually almost at 20 minutes, believe it or not. And all we've really talked about is dancing, singing and writing, which is,
I mean, those are the
awesome.
Best things in life.
They
talk
are
about
the best
cheese
things.
And wine. But I mean,
are those hobbies? Is eating cheese and drinking wine a hobby? It probably
for
actually
sure
is.
It should be.
Yes, it is. It is. I wanted to ask you a question that I think this will be fun and this will be very relatable. So what hobbies have you tried and abandoned?
That's a good
and
one.
I can start.
You have
I can
to start. I have to think.
Because for me, anything having to do with textiles and I have tried many textile based hobbies and ultimately have abandoned all of them. And that includes learning to embroider, which I really enjoyed. And I choose to look at that as that was just a fun thing to learn. And I didn't have to have a finished product because the first project I started was like kind of like a learning. It was this big tree. And the whole point of it was like you were supposed to learn a different stitch with each flower. So there's all these blooms on the tree.
I remember the pictures. Yeah,
it took forever. And I'm only like half done. Now, the cool thing is I learned a lot of stitches. So if I get back to it, I can just pick one or two stitches and, you know. Just do that.
Yeah.
But the reality is I've had a couple of unfinished projects sitting out. I learned how to knit in high school. And ever since then, every time I've picked up a knitting project, it's like, I can't remember how to do it.
I know.
Like my hands won't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So all of anything like that involves thread or yarn, I've started
and those are
and
so,
quit.
It's so fun to start those projects. Like I just love a good fabric store or a good, like picking out colors or something like. Just limitless possibilities. But yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. A couple that came to mind for me is one was personal blogging. Like when I met you, I was starting to write a little bit, but I tried to have a personal blog. I didn't ever do it very well. And then I would always get distracted into things like I do really well, which is editing other people's work or, you know, working as kind of like a content manager and like being more on the strategy side. And the truth is I really like that stuff too. It's really, I mean, it's a good fit for me, but it always got muddied in the, like, what do I want to do? Do I want to have a blog or do I want to be in the business of blogging? And I never really wanted to have a blog. So that was, but it was something I thought that I would, like I tried to be a blogger and did not succeed. Photography, I would say has been a hobby of mine for the last 5 years, probably. And I wouldn't say I've abandoned it, but I will say that the iPhone camera keeps getting better and better. And so I sometimes leave my DSLR on the shelf. And then every time I get it out, I'm so happy I did. I mean, I worked really hard to teach myself how to shoot in manual. And that is something that felt really good because it was so different than anything I'd ever done. And I was totally self-taught. But I will say that the better the iPhone camera gets, the easier it is to abandon the big camera.
You know, one thing that popped into my head as you were talking, and doesn't have anything to do with photography, but kind of does. I used to really consider homemaky kind of stuff like cooking and baking and decorating to be hobbies of mine. Mm-hmm. And I have not for a while, but I'm moving into a different house and mm-hmm. I'm kind of looking forward to like reorganizing and yes. the pleasure that you get from that. And so that's something that like I never abandoned it fully. I just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to getting back into that. That's something
I'm excited
that I'm
for you for that because I think moving is a great opportunity. And I need to like get on that bandwagon with you. We had our house painted in January and
yeah.
took everything off the wall, and it's March 14th and I have almost nothing back on the wall. I thought it was going to be so fun to like redecorate with a clean slate and have freshly painted yeah. walls, and I'm just kind of finding it discouraging. So I need yeah. to get back on that hobby.
Well, we'll have lots of, I think we're going to have a lot of home related yeah. content this yeah. spring because I'm moving from about 2,800 to 3,000 square feet into about 1,200. So, ooh. Yep, it's going to get
cozy.
It's going to be cozy. Yep. So, but I'm looking forward to it. So there you go. That's something that some people think is a hobby and some people think is a necessity, which I guess it just goes to show you that a hobby is in the eyes of the hobbyist.
Yeah. And that it changes over time. Like,
right.
you know, you can pick something up and put it down. And yeah. The thing that feels like work could be a hobby at another time of your life.
Yeah. Well, we want to hear what you guys do for fun.
Yeah.
I want to know where our theater people are at. We've heard from a few of them, I feel like.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to nerd out over like Broadway show tunes and stuff more often.
Well, that for sure should be a More Than Mom episode.
Exactly.
Or five.
We could probably
we'll
keep it
decade
going.
Decade by decade. 1960s music.
Yes.
1970s music.
I would love that.
All right. This has been fun, you guys.
This has been
fun. If we mentioned anything to link to, it'll be at themomhour.com. We will. You should, because you should go sign up for our email list so you can get beautiful essays like mine.
And I think, you know what? I think I am going to go ahead and share that blog title. I've just decided, or my blog URL.
Okay. So now you have to go to the show notes, guys, and look for
Yep. Got to go to the show notes. It's going to be there. And hopefully maybe this will inspire me to get another post up before this goes live. But again, going into tech week, who knows?
Who knows?
I might lose my mind before Sunday. We'll see.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you. We'll be back on Tuesday with a parenting episode.
See you then.